Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 25th of October, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont, and I need you to know how happy I am to get to say this. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Good morning, Kelly.
I'm so pleased to have you with me for a bunch of reasons. First of all, I love getting to sit and chat with you. And second of all, because I also love when that chat is about processors. Like I said before the show,
from time to time.
Yeah, you have more casual knowledge about processors and what's going on there than most people. So that's why I like to talk to you about
shucks.
It.
Oh, shucks.
Well, yeah, we'll have a TV conversation later because my house went 4K and we should probably chat about that sometime soon.
Oh, cool.
There's so many Ks, John. I just don't know what to do about it. All right. So first up, we got new machines from Apple they were announced. They should start showing up. We got them last week. They should start showing up any minute now. I think it's this Friday. They're supposed to start being like in hand, I think. But those new machines, the processors in those, the Apple Silicon in those, is just, those chips are monsters. Like, they look so good, you might buy a new computer.
Yeah, I might. You know, I have a 2013 Mac Pro. It served me well for years. Mm-hmm. It's got 16 gigabytes of RAM, which is plenty. And because it's a Mac Pro, it supports metal, and it's ready for Monterey even 8 years later. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty cool machine, but it is getting up there in age. And I had always talked to you about how I was upset that there was no really proper, affordable substitute for a 2013 Mac Pro. I paid about $2,500 for it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to buy a Mac Pro today, you have to spend about $5,000. Mm-hmm. And a Mac Mini is really not an attractive replacement for a Mac Pro. And so for years, I wondered what the replacement was going to be. And now I think that a 14-inch MacBook Pro with an M1 Pro chip, not a Max. I don't need a Max. Nobody's been able to max out the M1 yet, so mm-hmm. I think a 14-inch MacBook Pro would fit barely on my desktop because I have that 32-inch Hewlett Packard display.
Yeah,
and I need a little bit of room for a computer on the side.
Sure.
And that would barely fit, and it would be a powerful machine. And I don't know how much faster an M1 Pro is over the Xeon that's in that Mac Pro, but it's probably 10 times faster.
I'm sure it will be dramatic when you get your hands on it.
Yeah, so. So if you're trying to figure out a replacement for your older Mac Pros of any kind, one of these new M1 chips, especially the Pro or the Max, I think would be perfectly adequate.
Oh, I think it'd be more than adequate, because if you have a Mac Pro, unless you have the latest iteration of the Mac Pro, that machine's a little older, and even Intel processors have evolved since then, but not quite as fast as Apple wanted, which might be part of the deal here, right?
Which is probably why Apple's been very annoyed with Intel over the years. I think we know now how annoyed Apple was. I don't think we realize the depth of Apple's concern. You know, it always was that when Intel announced a new generation of core processors, there was this matrix of features, and it was Apple was hard-pressed to select from the new generation Intel chip which chip they were going to use that had the right power management, had the right set of features. And it's always seemed like there was some Apple feature that was cool that the chip wouldn't support, and we were always dismayed. Mm-hmm. You know, why doesn't this new MacBook Pro or this new Mac Mini have this such and such a feature? And it turns out it wasn't available in that version of the chip that Apple chose to use in their computer from mm-hmm. Intel. And so that probably accumulated years and years of frustration, where Apple said, you know, if we build our own chip, we can make it support the features that showcase macOS that are important to us and have control over it. And then with a unified memory architecture and the ability to go to 5 nanometers process, Apple just figured that there was no hope in staying on the Intel path. And there was a time when we thought, well, maybe it was worth paying that price because of Intel compatibility, you know, mm-hmm. the ability to boot directly into Windows and have it, not have to go through Rosetta, have Windows compatibility in an instruction set. And yeah. Apple was going to go through some teething pains, and we're going to have to go through, you know, dual binaries all over again.
Yeah.
But it looks like Apple solved all those problems, learned from their experience, built an awesome M1 chip. And then when the M1 came out, of course, we were annoyed that it maxed out at 16 gigabytes.
Okay, now hold. I'm going to stop you right there. Mm-hmm. Because you say we were annoyed, but I think
I was
not annoyed. I think the we in this case is John Martellaro and the mouse in his pocket. We're both annoyed.
There was a lot of people who thought that, you know, they have been using 16 gigabytes in their mm-hmm. in their Macs for a decade.
Yeah.
And it was time to move on.
Well, but also...
Without knowing the technical advantages of the unified memory architecture.
Right.
Without having a specific technical need for it. It just seemed like a natural progression. And then when the M1, we found out, was limited to 16 gig because it's on board the SoC.
Yes.
We thought, well, this is a problem. But then you and I remember philosophized about how we'll wait for the M1X.
Yeah.
Or whatever's going to be the next chip in the sequence, or the M2. And mm-hmm. we know there's going to be an M2 and an M3. I know we talked about this the last time I was on the show. And so it didn't turn out to be an M2. It turned out to be an M1 Pro and an M1 Max.
Yes.
But we can see the progression of the technology and how if you really want 32 gigabytes of RAM, now you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's cool. But
like another thing that was sort of notable in that conversation is that you know, one of the things that we talked about in that was because this is system on a chip, because it's unified memory, because of all the things that are different about this particular configuration, like this, like literally everything has changed because these don't handle the instructions the same way. They don't run through the processor the same, like, you know, GPU handling is different. Anything you're asking the RAM to do is a slightly different thing. Like, on a high level, yes, you are still issuing instructions for something to calculate and come back with a value and take action based on that value, but like all of the handling and all of that is very different in these than it was in Intel processors. So like the knee jerk of I have to have I have to have 32 gigabytes, like that's not necessarily quite as true, I guess, for lack of a better term, because it might be different now.
Anecdotally, what I've heard is that the 16 gigabytes in the M1 works very well with Big Sur. And you're not desperate for more memory the way you would have been with an Intel chip.
I have been completely happy with mine, and I've done many things to go, okay, well, what can I actually do with this computer? And so far, I feel I've been pretty creative in that department, and it hasn't broken a sweat yet. So after a year, I'm very happy. I can't imagine what the pros are going to be like.
My take is that the community is pretty happy with what Apple's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
We had some vague concerns about switching architecture, having to go through Rosetta 2, not have ready access to the Intel instruction set for booting directly into Windows, and so on and so on. But Apple has handled this transition very well, and in fact, the tables have turned. Now I think the Intel and PC community is a little bit jealous of what Apple's been able to achieve technically.
Well, we know Intel is, because Intel has already announced plans to make similar style chips, if I'm remembering that correctly, that they want to start making system-on-a-chip processors as well.
Good luck getting to 5 nanometers like TSMC has. Good luck.
Well, that was one of the hang-ups, wasn't it? Like, I feel like we had a conversation about 5-nanometer chips and how Intel couldn't crack it.
They had trouble getting to 10.
Yeah. So that's like that's why I feel like it's been a while, but I feel like we've had that conversation about how Intel was having a hard time getting anything down that far, which was part of what was limiting what it was that they could do with chips that Apple was buying off of them. So I will tell you, it's been interesting to watch this evolution, And so far, like I said, so far, I've had no complaints about my machine. I've been very happy with it. And like I said, everything I've tried to do to kind of, you know, put it through its paces has been pretty unflinching. Like, okay, did that, next. And, it hasn't really cared. So
In hindsight, it turns out that all that angst we had about Apple losing interest in the Mac was just simply a side product of Apple being upset with what Intel was doing and the constraints that Intel placed on Apple, mm-hmm. and what Apple had to put up with. And so we misunderstood that Apple was upset. Being upset with Intel was a loss of interest in the Mac. And now we look at this M1 Pro and M1 Max and the architecture and the new machines that they've developed with the new displays and extra ports. And we see that Apple was just biting its tongue, just waiting for the ability to just leap forth with these new M1 chips.
Yeah.
And as Tim Cook said during the presentation on Monday, you know, we love the Mac, and now we know they really do.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to believe that, because they kept saying it and we kept going, yeah, but, you know, look at all this proof we have otherwise, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, so I'm
tough.
I'm looking forward to that. Now, I do want to ask you a little bit more about that, but before I do, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is SimpliSafe. Now, I've talked to y'all about SimpliSafe before. The founders just wanted a security system that was easy to set up and use, so they built one. And now they've added an outdoor security camera to the mix. So one of the things that I appreciate about this is that, like the other stuff that SimpliSafe makes, this seems like something that was designed by somebody who's tried to use other outdoor security cameras and decided to build one that solved all of those problems. And by that, I mean it's got 1080p resolution, it's got 8x zoom, it's got night vision, it's got a rechargeable battery, so it truly is wireless, you can stick it anywhere. And that battery is easy to remove and charge, and it integrates with any SimpliSafe setup, whether it's an existing setup you already have or you're getting a brand new one. So SimpliSafe is celebrating this new product with 20% off a new system, and the first month of interactive monitoring is free. Here's how to do it. Just go to simplisafe.com/TDO and customize a system that you can use to protect your home and family. That's SimpliSafe.com/TDO. SimpliSafe.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank SimpliSafe for sponsoring the show today. So, John, I want to ask you about, so one of the things that I think is interesting about talking to you about getting a new machine is that you are also looking forward to, we will call it increased recliner usage for a new computer, which is something that your Mac Pro doesn't do very well.
Yeah, that's something that wasn't on the table before, but considering my injury, computer that I would use on my laptop and then connect to the dock when it's on the big display would be a better solution for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a good keyboard. We got extra ports. Mm-hmm. We got a nice display. We got really good SSDs. Got 32 gig of RAM if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
We got a really nice operating system in Monterey. Wow, that's a really nice computer. And the display's a little bigger. It's 14 inches, 14.2, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a really good computer just to use on the lap as opposed to sitting all day at a desktop.
Yeah, I think the increased acreage is going to be a thing that I'm curious about. So because this is a thing a lot of people are talking about, I'll get your take on it as well. What are your thoughts on the notch? Did I just talk you out of a MacBook Pro?
My guess, I don't have any information yet, but my technical guess is the notch is a byproduct of going to 1080i. 1080p. Sorry.
Oh, for the camera?
For the camera.
Yeah. My hunch is that it's just because Face ID is coming, and so they're sticking it in there now. Because I also know there's more stuff next to the camera, even now. In the computer that you have in front of you, if that computer is a FaceTime camera, there's more up there than just the camera. So I think the shape being a little different, it probably lends itself well to some of that. But I like that they sort of took the bite out of the menu bar so that you get that
the menu bar around it.
Yeah. So you get, you know, increased acreage, as I like to say, in that new machine. So yeah, I think like a lot of things when Apple makes a change like this, there's a bunch of people that get super worked up about it, and then sort of everybody gets one and nobody cares anymore. Like it all ends up being fine after about a week. I'm not too worried about it. And I'm glad to know you're not either.
No.
So that's very good. Mostly I wanted to talk to you about the new processors. I'm excited to see. So you would look at, you've decided the 14 inch is the way for you?
Well, yeah. What you have to think about on your, when you're working with a machine on your lap a lot is the weight.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at 3.5 pounds versus, I think, 5.2.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
I don't think heat is an issue. I had a 2018 MacBook Pro in my lap the other day, and it gets a little warm. Not so warm that I had to use a tray table or anything, but it does get a little warm underneath. Yeah. From what I'm hearing from you about your 13-inch M1, it doesn't get warm at all.
No, it does not.
So then you have to worry about weight on your lap being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And a 16-inch MacBook Pro would certainly be a glorious display to have on your lap, but then you get a bulky big machine in the world to deal with.
Yeah.
And I think weight becomes an issue. Comfort.
Yeah, I think comfort probably is more the question in that case, because I can't imagine, as weird as this sounds, I can't imagine actually having that laptop on my lap. It just seems like it would be I know it's probably reasonable, but it seems like it would be very heavy, like comparatively, especially since I've been a 13-inch user for a very long time. Even back in the day, I had a 15-inch machine, and I had a lot of angst about downsizing, because there was a point when I was like, gosh, can I really live without the extra space? And it turns out, yeah, you know what? When you go places occasionally and need to carry your computer around with you, the 13-inch is absolutely the thing you want to carry around. It is not the 15-inch machine. Yeah. So the 16 or the 17, I can't even imagine what that's like as a regular travel machine, unless it's like I pick it up from this desk and I carry it to this desk and then I set it on that desk and work there for a while and then eventually I take it back.
I've handled Jeff Gamet's 16-inch MacBook Pro and it's a monster.
Yeah.
It's like something you sit on a desk, not on your lap. I have a 12-inch MacBook Pro from 2015, and that 12-inch screen was never quite big enough. I'm going to retire that computer.
Oh.
It's not very powerful.
Finally getting retired. Listen to all the news you're breaking on TDO today.
Never was happy with the 12-inch display. It was always just a little too cramped.
Yeah.
14 is going to be glorious.
But you are also the one person who didn't seem to have a beef about the keyboard on that machine either.
No, I love the original keyboard.
So, which
I
is...
I wish I could buy a standalone keyboard with that mechanism. I understand that Apple has improved the keyboard quite a bit. Yes. I never really had any problems with it getting dust or cookie crumbs into my keyboard and having it lock up. I kept it clean, and it never failed me, and I never had a key go wrong. And the action felt, crisp and short, which I've always enjoyed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think the new keyboards on the new MacBook Pros are probably even better.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
Well, the one on mine, I'm as happy with it as I have been with any chiclet style keyboard. I'll put it that way. I don't generally like them. The last laptop, because I'm a very fussy keyboard person. So the last laptop keyboard I genuinely enjoyed was the PowerBook G4 with the springy keys, how it had the spring and a little bit more travel to them than what we get now, because the ones now feel very flat and I don't feel the spring in them. So I don't like typing on them as much. So yes, as a matter of fact, I do use an external keyboard and it makes me very happy. I think you will be very pleased with that machine, and I look forward to getting to talk to you more about it for that reason, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun once you get a new one of these new monster machines that's going to do everything and more. And how much RAM are you getting in it?
32. That's all I need.
No, I would say 16 is all you need, but 32 is what you are hardwired to purchase.
Yeah, so my brain is locked into 32. I must admit, it's peccadillo.
Yeah, I think it's more that's what you feel you should have, which is a very different proposition.
Well, Apple's offering 32, so I'm going to take it.
I know. Like, yeah, if they weren't handing it out, it would be a very different conversation, I'm sure. So, I look forward to it, and I look forward to more conversations with you once you are connected to that machine and recording shows with me. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. If you have questions for John, or if there's anything you think he needs to try out once he gets one of these new machines, you can let us know at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So, John, as always, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great chatting with you, Kelly. Thanks.
I'm so glad you're here. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.